You came forth.
Yeah.
You mean he came forth?
The Licker and Groskop, they gave themselves massive donations. Right? They got to 25 grand. They gave themselves massive donations. Right at the end, they gave themselves another five.
You came, you're the fourth most successful team.
Well, no, you feel much better than me.
Wow, amazing.
Brody and Sam. Groskop and Licker got to 25. They paid massive donations themselves.
Okay, I think that's even greater. What do you mean?
Steve Bergen and Sam got to 16.
Very good.
And we got to 14.
That's brilliant. Amazing. You get 103%? How much is it? Go to the bonus?
332, yeah. The bonus peaked on 290.
Brilliant. So that's an evening coil for Kolyanko.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
And leaving Carlo Yosef Ram's place in the
Caribbean.
You can imagine it doing it as well. We've done a hibbert on a trip. After trip.
Who's in charge of the money?
Sandals and Lucia. All expenses paid.
Okay.
But after the trip.
So I heard this vort today. Somebody came up to me and said this most unbelievably beautiful vort. I want to share this with you. So somebody told me this vort. He said, I'll tell you vort. It's just amazing vort. It says, who says this vort? I said, no, I have no idea. He said, but you like the vort? I said, yes, I told you, it's a fantastic vort. It's a brilliant vort. He said, do you know who said it? I said, no. Do you like it? I said, yes, it's a fantastic vort. Now, who says it? He says, Mnosno Veslov says this vort. So, it's the first time, I believe, in my life that I'm quoting Mnosno Veslov, but it's a fantastic vort. It's really beautiful. So, he says, in Megillah, we say as follows. We say that Esther Amalka was hesitant to go to the king, Achashverosh. The reason being, I haven't been called in. Pasuk says, the protocol is kol avdei melech yodim asher kol ishvei. Everybody knows kol ishvei shasha yovel amelech helchotzer apnim. You cannot go to the courtyard, to the inner courtyard of the king. If you're not being called, you may not enter. It's against the protocol. You may not enter the inner areas of the achas doso lehames and your chayv misa. Somebody enters the inner areas of the palace, you know, Yichayev Misa. Levan Mashayosh La Melech Shavit Vanilo Nikes, you haven't been called, and a Melech Shleshim, you haven't been, you know, been called for the last 30 days. If I would be entered, it's a Zakona. Fine, so Motche says this, you've got no choice. Who knows? Perhaps that's your moment of, maybe the issue is going to come from now. Mio Idea, Imlo is Kazois. And then Tsumu Alai, okay, and then eventually, if you psuk him later. She enters. The king sees Esther Amalka. She found favor in his eyes. He spreads his golden scepter towards her. And he says, "What would you like, Esther? And I'll give it to you." So we know that besides the pshat of the Megillah, it's also a moshel and nimshel, and that's the Vilna Gaon says it. So that's no great chiddush. That whenever it speaks about Hamelech, it's talking about Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there's also that parallel, and when it's Esther Amalka, it's talking about Klal Yisrael. So there's that parallel story going on as well. Besides the whenever it's talking Achashverosh, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Esther Amalka is Klal Yisrael. So Esther Amalka said, "Listen, you want me to go to the king. I'm not really worthy of going to the king. I haven't been anywhere near, you know, for 30 days. This is an nimshel. This is a marshal for this is the marshal nimshel is Klal Yisrael saying, 'Listen, we're not really worthy of going close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We haven't. What have we done? What's our mitzvahs like? What's our yeshamayim like? What's our davening like? We haven't been anywhere near the inner areas for 30 days." you know, we haven't done the right things for quite a while. Look at the Yashamayim, look at our mitzvahs. We're just not quite there yet. We haven't been here. But Matcha says to her, listen, you've got no choice. You've got to, the class is in danger, you've got to do it. And Esther is ever so hesitant to make that step forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're just not worthy. How can I go and ask anything from the Ribbono Shel Olam if we haven't done the basics? And Esther says, that's against the protocol. You cannot ask anything if you don't do the basics that is upon you to do. That's what Klal Yisrael says. I can't do it. It's against the protocol. I can't ask anything from the Ribbono Shel Olam because I'm not worthy of it. I haven't done my basic requirements. But eventually she says there's no choice, and Matcha pushes, and she goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then says, oh, Nosachen Ve'enah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you're coming forward. It's nice you're coming forward. And the Shavit Hazav, which is the golden scepter that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can of course overrule its own rules and regulations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can overrule his protocol, which he's established himself. And he shows this, that just because of pure love and pure care and pure concern, he stretches out the golden scepter towards Esther Malka, because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, really cares for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. So if we make that first step, she made that first step, Esther Malka made that first step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and upon that, she says, it's fine, don't worry about it, you know, you can go against the rules and regulations, you may not be worthy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Like Achashverosh, Nosochein, Esther Nosochein, Be'eni Achashverosh, there is that inner connection, and despite all the averes that we do, despite all the chatoim that we do, nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is here, and he stretched out the golden and said, what would you like? I'll give it to you. Isn't that a beautiful word?
That's
a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word. It's based on the Teres Hagon. The Vilna Gaon also goes very much that Mahalach in Teres and Esther, so it's not so far from the Vilna Gaon to Mahalach. Yeah, but it's a really, really precious word. Yeah, good. Even if you had, yeah, that's right, the Tshuva Me'avakan, very nice. Yes, goes in line with that, very good. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we are ready for Simon Tov, Reish, Tzadik, Vav, and we are up to, we started Siv Zayin, we're up to the Ramah in Siv Zayin, and we will continue from there. So the Ramah in Seif Zayin says, for the Kol Shkein, Shechai, B'mikro Megillah, Vetfila v'kiyas shema. So an oinein cholila baminon, who has lost a close relative. So he's obligated to hear the Megillah and to hear the mikro Megillah, tefillas and kiyas shema. Despite the fact that it's an oinein, but yes, the Megillah you'll have to hear and shema as well. Fenila dafke belayla, it's only with regards to night. Avul b'shemei somutal alfonov. The dead is in front of him, he's not been buried yet. Avul b'yoyim, but by day, shiroitzel kavon, the day that he wishes to bury his close relative, kvuras meisoy koidem, he first goes and buries his close relative, and only subsequently he will listen to the Megillah. V'lochen koirem ispanel achakach, he will read the Megillah and daven after the burial of his close relative. To le'odim miyom tov Shabbos, because that's the same halachas, then Yom Tov Shabbos. Okay. Siv Ches. Mutar Lisa Isha B'Purim. This is a famous halacha, this. You're allowed to marry a woman on Purim. Why is this a... Quite a big chiddush. That's right. Because normally when it comes to Yom Tov, we would say, as you're saying, Ein Ma'av in Simcha V'Simcha. On Yom Tov, a person may not have a chasna. On Yom Tov, Ein Ma'arvin, we do not mix. Simcha b'simcha. Yom Tov is a simcha. Getting married is a simcha. So ein ma'av and simcha b'simcha. You cannot mix two. You don't. Perhaps that's where the expression comes from. You can't dance on both hands. That what? Yes, we did on Chilchus Cholamot as well. As to whether ein ma'av and simcha b'simcha applies, and the Rambam says on Cholamot does apply as well. So yes, yes. Yes, so you're referring to the Mishnah Berurah that said you're referring to two siblings getting minah on Chol HaMoed. In Hilchos Chol HaMoed it was mentioned, you're right, very good. Hilchos Chol HaMoed was mentioned that if a person not in Chol HaMoed wants two siblings getting married the same day, we don't. And then there was a machlokes that's together in the same week. So.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so two chasnas. Okay. Yeah, in Lemaise we don't. Dominic is not two.
Okay.
But we say, but in principle, you're right. In principle, Allah is that you can because it's two different. It's one person, so it should be a problem. You're saying. Very good. We'll see the Mishnah in a minute. Yes.
Is Purim classified as a Yom Tov?
Very good. Is Purim classified as Yom Tov? And you are saying that really it should be. It should be. So the Mishnah Berurah clarifies all these questions. You've gotten Chof Ches. Mutali. So Lo Yidom Elechak. It is not like a regular Yom Tov. Tiksev. With a regular Yom Tov, it says V'samachto, you should enjoy Bechagecho on the festival on the Yom Tov. V'loy Beishtecho. It says Bechagecho, you should enjoy the Yom Tov. V'loy Beishtecho, you should enjoy the Yom Tov, not your new wife. Masha Enkei Bepurim, as opposed to Purim, which is not classified as a Yom Tov. Oh, very good. You're saying that's Divrei Kabbalah. So you're right that we consider generally Purim Divrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah for many areas have got similar to that. But it, I might say it's not the Reis Mamash, and the V'samachta Bechagecha doesn't apply there. V'samachta Bechagecha is only the Chag, which is the Reis Dike Chag. Purim is not the Reis Dike Chag, even if you say Divrei Kabbalah. Time-wise. So the Mishnah Berurah says, who alleged with Mishnah Berurah continues and says the name of the Morgan Avraham. The Morgan Avraham cost of the Yasa Chuppah B'yom Gimel, it's still better to do the Chuppah on the 13th of Adar, Vasa'ud and the subsequent meal, Pa'erev, by night. So that would be the Chuppah you do before Purim, and the Suda will lead into the night of Purim. I'm Bishar Tshuva, Shkoz Medinas, Elu Pasha Minik Lehati, Kedas, Shulchanoch. So the Tshuva says the meaning is to allow it, like the Pinim Shulchanoch. However, the Chamed Moshe, I'm turning the page to 326. Chamed Moshe calls for Nochon Yisrael as a chuppah soif yom talit. Versus does Purim yasim mekoydem, and some say no, it's not so poshut. So there's a bit of a machloikus about that. There is a famous discussion at the most now. It's on top of page 326. Bein be yudalit, bein be tezvov. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Ramog clarifies you have to get married both on the 14th and on the 15th. So wherever you may be. Both days are permitted in Chasna. The reason the Mishnah Berurah points out because V'samachta Bechagecha doesn't apply. V'samachta Bechagecha on Ma'avin Simcha B'Simcha. He's only with regards to a Torah Yom Tov. Purim is not a Torah Yom Tov, and therefore it's okay. Now there is a famous story that Reb Shloimeh Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha himself, his own chasana was on Purim. And the story behind it is that his parents were very poor. To Auerbach's very poor. Although Reb Shloimeh Zalman's father, Reb Chaim Yehuda Leib Auerbach, was a shiva in Shiva Zamekubolim in Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, they were very poor. Because all the donations that came to yeshiva, he refused to take any money for himself. And all the money went straight to yeshiva, and therefore the Auerbachs were brought up very poor. It was a very large family. Shomazam was one of many siblings. It was a very large family. And they were very, very poor. And therefore, when the chasna of Shomazam got married, they found that if we're going to do a suda on Purim, you know, we're anyway celebrating Purim, so it's a good day to make another sin. Saves us from having too expensive meals. And so this. That's how poor they were. It's unbelievable. So he said, you know what? So let's get my Ramos says, you have to get Mutalisa Purim. So Reb Shlomo Zalman, who was already an outstanding Talmid Chacham in those days, outstanding Talmid Chacham then. This is, by the way, talking about his first wife. I believe he married the second time. You know, his wife was Nifti, married. But this is about the Chasna when he was a younger man. He was very young, and his chasna drosha was about this very topic. Why do we not say Ein Ma'avin Simcha V'Simcha? And it was a long drosha, and it was a talk of town. That drosha, because that's when Reb Shlomo Zalman really was a bocher before that. The first time that he appeared, as it were, in public, in a proper drosha. It's not like nowadays, you know, droshas that interrupted halfway and everything. He dashed good and proper. It was a good, proper festa drosha in public. And that's when the fame of Shlomo Zalman came out. He was explaining the rule of En Ba'av and Simcha B'Simcha. how it doesn't apply by Chasna and why it's perfectly okay to get married on Purim. So that's the story of Shlomo Zalman. It's published as well. I think that over the years, this was when he was, I don't know, he was probably hardly 20 when he, over the years, he changed the Torah a little bit. He changed some, he had all the questions, all the tilutzim, but the bulk, the soy, the foundation of this vault is being published in Kashleim as well. Okay, so the Rambam continues with regards to Ofer Simchas. Kol Shekhen Shemut Alas is Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen. The Rambam says you're allowed to make a Pidyon HaBen on Purim. Now, the Pidyon HaBen, the thing about Pidyon HaBen is that really you can delay Pidyon HaBen. Like if Pidyon HaBen falls on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you generally. Anybody here made a Pidyon HaBen? Graduated Pidyon HaBen. So you could really. Pardon? You can't do it on Shabbos, it's just delayed. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, for different reason. But I'm saying that what I'm saying is that really, in principle, it could delay a Pidyon HaBen. You know, we're fined on several dates and days. If Pidyon HaBen falls, the 30th day falls on a Shabbos on Yom Tov, you'd push it off until the. So you could really argue, you know, you're going to push off the Pidyon HaBen. No, we don't push off a Pidyon HaBen which falls on Purim. I've never experienced this. I don't know how common it is. But a Pidyon HaBen may be performed on Purim. What about a Bris? Of course, if Kodan Chavtes and Mishnebu, Pidyon HaBen, Uvrismila, Tabozei and Simcha, Kukach, Yeshayach, Pulema, Ein Ma'av and Simcha, V'Simcha. Those are not considered over great Simchas. No, it means that even a Bris is. Yeah, he just says that the reason why Ein Ma'av and Simcha, V'Simcha doesn't apply is. I'm saying, Yehudim Shalai Bismanoi. Whatever, Bismano Shloi Bismano, the reason Mishnah Berurah says because there is no problem Eim Avin Simcha B'Simcha. Now comes perhaps the most famous Ramah in Hilchos Purim, I believe, perhaps, or should be perhaps the most famous, Mashana Gulil Bosh Partzufim, that the minhag that people wear masks on Purim, to clarify, mask means those things that, yeah. Mask means the things that you look different when you wear a mask. And it's not referring to the virus protective measures. So, you know, you've got to clarify nowadays. So, what people wear the masks, who gave a loivish simlash issue, additionally, what women wear, men's clothing, the isho klegeva, and vice versa. So, men wear women's clothes and women wear men's clothes, ain't Issa Bedova, that's fine. You're allowed to wear masks, you're allowed to have women's clothes, it's fine. Ain't Issa Bedova, me'achash en mechavni melo b'simcha balm, because that's just for simcha. Increased joy and happiness. More than that, furthermore, v'chein belevishas kilayim derabonon, also kilayim, which is shatness, which is only Asam Drabonon, in an instance which is only Drabonon, may be worn on Purim. V'yesh Oyrim De'osu, some say, no, you can't. Aval HaMinik is very shown, but the Minik, the general Minik, is like the first opinion, that you may do this. V'chein, finally, similarly, b'nei odom achoyt from zeh mezedech, simcha, people who catch from each other objects, they catch and they grab things from each other because they're simcha in a playful manner. And b'zem shom loy sigzol, that's not considered loy sigzol. So if I were to chop away from you a sweet, what those called, if you are 15 or 13 or 17, what they call the snaps, and you grab away a snap, which, whatever, it might not be such a good example, I'm just bringing out the point. If you grab one of those away, it may be argued that it's not loisig zoil, according to the Ramah, because, on Purim people are a bit more easygoing. But that's only has to be, it's only in the way that it's ratified and okay and authorized and accepted by the toivei o'ir. What's the toivei o'ir? Who are they? The toivei o'ir are the local presidents and committees of the community. So this nowadays is very, very watered down, but in pre-war Europe, and certainly in the 18th, 19th century, the Kehillahs were the presided and were led in very strong ways by the local president and the committees. They kind of decide what's accepted and what's not accepted. And if it's okay according to them, then it's okay. But if it's something which is overdone and they don't allow it, then it will be considered a problem and will therefore be a problem of Reisigzer as well. Habayisa, I want to look at this fascinating halacha of the mask. Okay, the mask, I suppose there should be no issa in wearing masks because there should be no issa in it. However, the second halacha that the Gemara brings over here, that's certainly worthwhile investigation because normally that's a man wearing women's garb and vice versa is normally classified as an issa d'oraisa v'lo silbash. Lo silbash. You're not allowed to wear a skirt. And a man is not, and a woman is not allowed to wear a, so that's lo silbash, issa d'oraisa. You may not do that. So why is it okay on Purim Sunday to do that? And it's really a real question. He says you're allowed to do that, and the more brings because it's for simcha, you know, simcha way. So what? Well, why is that okay? You've heard that it's not allowed.
I don't know who it was.
Yes, yeah.
One of the, you know.
That's it's a many refrain. Yeah, would you? Well, yeah.
There's no real intent to. Very good.
Absolutely. Very good. I'm going to go there. What do you want to say, Stephen?
I'm going to say, so if somebody is a Scottish man, presumably would not be allowed to wear a kilt.
No, a kilt is fine. Kilt is fine because that's no women's garb. I understand
it's
that. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt. I understand that Scottish get very offended when you call it a skirt. So I know very little about Scottish folklore. I know very little about Scottish minhagim, but I understand that it's a man's garment. So therefore, it will not be a problem with silbash. Now, so why is this? But why is it okay? Why is it? What's the over here? So the answer is very much what we are suggesting. The silbash in principle, according to most of Shonim, the problem with silbash is when you have an agenda, and it's clearly referring to something which is a lack of tznias and a lack of kedusha. When there is something there about, you know, so much so that the poets can actually say, when you only change one garment, that's certainly not a deraisa. If you only change one thing, say a person will put on a shaitel or something like that, and everything else he keeps on a men's garment, that would not be a problem a deraisa because, you know, you're just changing one piece of clothes as opposed to all clothing. If you change from top to bottom, that would be, if it's one piece of garment, the poets can actually say that wouldn't be a deraisa. It's only way of got an agenda that you want to really appear like a lady, mitchilta v'ad kemirta, when a lady wants to look completely like a man. That's where the problem really is. That, of course, the problem of kedusha, that's a complete lack of tznias, etc. Therefore, chachamim were matir, where it causes great simcha and great happiness and great thing, chachamim, therefore, the Ramah therefore says that, therefore, the minig is okay. If that's the minig, that's okay. However, you're quite right in pointing out that many of them don't like it, and I think it's generally... it's called, I think, the Avosna writes it in one place. It's considered mechoya. It's not nice. It's not edel to act, even with limited, even on Purim, limited. It's a considered dova mechoya. It's not something nice. Question is, when it comes to the young children, I'm not quite sure. What do you think about young children? Young children, to about 6 years old. There are a lot of poskim. Yeah, so is it chinuch issue? Is it chinuch issue? So a lot of poskim are more lenient because they say that it's something. A lot of poskim are more lenient when it comes to very young children. They say that it's something which doesn't apply. The chinuch doesn't apply for something which is it's not relevant at all for children. The whole problem is not really something which is related to children. Therefore, it's there's room for leniency. Again, these poskim will take it a bit more stringent. It's a bit of machloikas, but some are much more lenient when it comes to children. For adults, certainly the poskim agree that despite the heta, it's considered dovah mechoyah, which is not a nice thing to do. Now, with regards to lo sigzoil, is it really all right to grab things away? Is it really okay to grab things away? It's still not nice, eh? It's still not nice to grab things away. We don't have nowadays strong katoive or ear. We don't have strong communal lay leadership. It doesn't exist anymore. We don't have that. So the halacha is as follows. Mishnebu does say in Sifkon Lamet Aleph, this is not the ways of righteous people. Don't chop away other objects that is not yours. For shoyman, nafshay, somebody who is wants to safeguard his soul, yichak should distance himself from Malbushim, the Kilaim. He Kilaim should distance himself from Kilaim garments, even on Purim. For Lachtov, Mechavim, to chop away objects from his friend. It's just not the right thing to do. So whilst there is, perhaps in principle, there may be etta, but it's not the right thing to do. Refrain yourself, Kilaim, refrain from some grabbing objects. There may be a etta, but just, you know, why do that? It's a really good question. I don't know. I believe that it has to do with what was available to wear in those days. You know, you had regular garments, and then there was the other things which were kilayim, which looked a bit more interesting and a bit more exciting, whatever, it's more something of those, but I do not know precisely what it is. Kilayim and choytfim, that's what applied. You're right in pointing out, I don't think that other isuri de rabbonon would be permitted. So let's say... I suppose the answer is because gambling, nobody really did the rabbinical gambling on Purim. That's not something which actually applied and existed. It wasn't relevant. But the kilayim and the chapping, the loisigzel, was something which was extremely relevant and common. So that's something which they... So, right. Now... there is an interesting psak of Avi Lashiv. I don't know what you hear. Avi Lashiv, based on getting dressing up, is there a problem of getting dressed up as a goy? Is there any problem with that? Say there's a I don't know, there's like masks going around, this year probably not, but Trump, you know, there was like his mask going around. So would that mean he's maybe great or not, but he was certainly a Gentile at this stage. I don't know what's going on, the time brings, but you know, is he looking at his family connections, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But at this point, so is there a problem of actually getting it? And the reason for that, the reason why, because the person is not allowed to, there's a loch in your idea that a person is not allowed to say that he's a goy. A person is not allowed to say, it might be included in the Gimel Averis, a person is not allowed to say, even if it's Sakonis Nefosh, a person is not allowed to say that he's a goy. Because that's as if you were admitting that he's not believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the halacha about saying, you know, if a person is hiding, and that's a different thing, but if a person is positively saying that he's a goy, there's an issa in that. So the question is, by getting dressed up as a goy, would that be qualified as that or not? It's an interesting question. I think people are generally quite lenient.
Someone came to me once and dressed as a
priest. Right, there you go. Exactly.
I didn't know what to say.
You didn't know what to say, yeah. And you're quite confident it wasn't the actual priest. It was not the local priest. Yeah, so that would be absolutely. Yeah. So this is the problem. I mean, Avinashiv strongly dislikes it. You have to make chozik of Avinashiv. You're right. If you're making chozik, does that? You're right. All the Gemara says, all Litzanu says also, you know, I make the, but excluding the only Litzanus you have to make, Litzanus of Avinashiv. But are you making Litzanus if you come in like that? Yeah? Okay, so perhaps. Avinashiv doesn't like it so much. But he felt that it's not quite right to, you know, to make yourself into a goy. But I think many it looks like the Menig is generally to be quite lenient in this matter. Yeah, the priest is an interesting one. Yeah, does it go with it?
I had a dream that
he was
dressed as Father Christmas.
Father Graham, that's good. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I would think that if you're dressed up as a media personality in the non-Jewish world, that no one's really going to think if you're dressed up as Trump, you're dressed up for the purpose of being a goy. You're dressing up because you're the personality of
but, right. I hear you say that it doesn't qualify that question. Rabbi said to summarize our event this evening, we learned Baruch Hashem so many interesting halachas. We spoke about an oinein, and we said that an oinein, the Gemara says if the meisim mutar lefonov, fine. Then we spoke about getting married on Purim.
On the oinein, is the mutar lefonov, and you're still obligating the mitzvahs. Is that because there was a minhag not to bury at night? So the actual mitzvah of burial, whilst his mutar lefonov, is not actually mechoyev it, so he's not like a, in a certain way, not like an oinein.
It sounds more that it's a poem related halacha.
Otherwise, why is he
chayav these mitzvahs? It's a poem. Purim is more a poem. There's a halacha of Purim.
And Krishma, even though he'd normally be patur. Yeah. Krishma.
Yeah. He says in Kiyas Shema v'Tfilu, the could yeah.
Once
so.
Has all the other mitzvahs to go together with it.
And then we and then oinein with regards to if it's a bad day, then you first then one first does the kfu and then afterwards the mitzvahs. We spoke about getting married on Purim, which is permitted. We spoke about Shlom Zalm, both 14th and the 15th. Chasnas are permitted. We spoke about Pidina Ben, which is permitted. Prismila, which is permitted. Then we spoke about the Mass. And we said that it's okay, and we said that not only that, but getting dressed up according to the Rama is fine as well. Even Kilaim the Rabbanon is fine as well. That's the minute to be lenient. Mishnah doesn't like it so much, and the Shlo doesn't like it at all. The grabbing is fine as well. If it's the Simcha, and here again, it's not recommended. It's not great practice to do. Good. Okay. Tomorrow we're going to be learning with Shem the Lochas of Simon Tov Reish Tzadi Zayin. And that's for this evening.